safe to say that the success this year will hinge on their ability to not just sustain the blow from losing Lynch, but find in Rawls a replacement who can duplicate what Lynch brought.
Russell takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over, baby.
Touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl.
This is Hawks Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the inaugural episode of Hawks Talk here on Comcast Sportsnet and CSNNW.com. I am your host, Joel Gunderson, and I'll be coming to you every Monday morning throughout the season as we recap the week that was for the Seattle Seahawks and look ahead to the following week's matchups as well. We're going to get into fantasy matchups, how your players did, and just give an overall impression of what's going on in Seahawks land. But with the season just 5 days away, we couldn't let it come without taking you on a preview of what's to come for this 2016 version of the Seahawks. After months of moves, re-signings, front office decisions, some weddings thrown in there, and lots of fights in fall camp, we're heading into a very important season for Seattle. After last year's playoff exit, courtesy of the Carolina Panthers, Seattle finds itself in an unusual position. Underdogs in their own division, looking up at the presumed favorites by everybody's account, the Arizona Cardinals. Seattle enters the year now with a new running back, presumably, but not officially, Thomas Rawls, replacing Marshawn Lynch, who hung it up, as you all know, last year as his announcement came during the Super Bowl. Very Lynch-esque. For all of his antics, though, what Seattle's losing is one of the top backs in the NFL over the past decade, and it's safe to say that the success this year will hinge on their ability to not just sustain the blow from losing Lynch, but hopefully find in Rawls, or whoever takes over the position, a replacement who can duplicate what Lynch brought. Toughness, grit, an ability to be a force on the field even when the ball isn't in his hands, because more than anything, that's what Lynch provided. His presence alone made Seattle's offense click. Teams had to respect the run, which opened up things for Russell Wilson and the rest of the offense. Now, Thomas Rawls and his ability to replace Marshawn Lynch is obviously a big storyline heading into the year, but before we delve into 2016, it doesn't hurt to take a look back at 2015, where Seattle had overall a disappointing season, especially for their standards of what they're looking for. 10-6 on the year, finished sixth in the NFC, and then lost to Carolina in the playoffs after falling down 31-0 in the first half. Made a strong rally in the second half, ended up losing 31-24, which, you know, we'll do one of two things: either stoke a fire heading into this season, or have it end on a, you know, ending on a sour note. It's going to be hard to tell how they're going to bounce back. But the 10-6 season came off the heels of their second straight Super Bowl appearance. Obviously, the loss to the Patriots and Tom Brady left a bad feeling going in. The big offseason move last year, trading center Max Unger to New Orleans for Jimmy Graham, was supposed to be viewed as the missing piece for Seattle, as their tight end has always been one of the weak spots on the offense. And Jimmy Graham struggled all season long, battled injuries, did not appear to fit into the offense, and Seattle's offensive line subsequently was atrocious for a good chunk of the season. That really can be looked back upon as missing Max Unger, who is definitely one of the top centers in the league. His presence was felt. The 2-4 start to the season really was where the offense and the defense were trying to figure out who they were and gain an identity as a team. That was really what was missing. And the 8-2 finish to end the year, as I mentioned, gave them some momentum heading in. First week of the playoffs, they went into Minnesota, and if you don't remember, one of the coldest games on record, playoff or otherwise. They end up winning 10-9 after Blair Walsh missed a chip shot field goal. The narrative after that game was more of how Minnesota lost and blew their opportunity as opposed to Seattle taking advantage and winning. But they did. They advanced the second round, went in, met a buzzsaw in Carolina and Cam Newton, who obviously went on to the Super Bowl and lost to the Denver Broncos. But overall, it was an odd season, one that can probably be viewed as a transitional year. Seattle last year, they entered the 2015 season, had the 12th youngest roster on the league. This year, heading in, now they have the 6th youngest roster in the league. So a lot of moves were made. Get younger, get more athletic. The secondary is still primarily intact, but they're, you know, a lot of the guys in the Legion of Boom are reaching their prime of their career. So that may be the next area that we have to look at. But after the season, a lot of changes. As we mentioned, Marshawn Lynch retired. One of the bigger ones that didn't necessarily grab the headlines per se as a ship-shifting move, but GM John Schneider and Pete Carroll both re-signed with the franchise. And the Carroll one is interesting, especially because he's going to be 65 years old here next week after week one of the season. And it shows that the franchise is not ready to move on yet. And a lot of times in the NFL, we see very small windows for these teams as they have for 2 or 3 years where they really go for it. And then they have to reevaluate. Are we going to keep going? Are we going to step back and have a youth movement? Seattle clearly thinks that they're still in the thick of the playoff race and Super Bowl contenders. And they should be, because their roster is still loaded in terms of talent on defense, especially. And you have Russell Wilson, who's probably in reality not even in the prime of his career yet. He may be a year or two away from really moving into the upper echelon, and which might sound silly because he is who he is, but I still think there's a lot of things he can improve upon. But by giving Carroll an extension, I mean, he's going to be here until he's almost 70 years old, but they obviously view him as the right coach for this set of players and this core group of guys. And that really shows the players, at least it should, that the front office and Paul Allen and Schneider, they're all in, and they think that this team can still go places, and which will be interesting to see how they start the year, especially because we mentioned last year, the 2-4 start really put them behind the eight ball as they got going. And once things figured out, once they got it clicking, they finished strong, and then the playoffs came and they went the way they went. But this going into this offseason, we all knew that there was going to be a lot of changes, and it all started with Lynch. But I really view the Pete Carroll re-signing as a big indicator that they're going for it, and they still believe that from top to bottom, they have a roster that can compete with anybody. And from the psyche of the player's standpoint, that has to be huge going into the year, especially the way the playoff game in Carolina was so bad for the first half, especially. I mean, they were dominated on every side of the ball, special teams, offense, defense. It was terrible, honestly. And for them to bounce back in the second half the way they did, the season still ended, but it could have been a lot worse. Going into this year, now the players know, like, all right, it didn't end the way we wanted to. Things clearly could have gone better, but they still believe in us, and we're still here, and we're going to make a run at this thing. But now the calendar flips to the 2016 season, which opens up Sunday at home against the Dolphins at 1:00. Seattle has just wrapped up their preseason schedule on Thursday with a 23-21 victory at Oakland, which a preseason that was probably most notable for the fact that Seattle's the team that knocked out Tony Romo, potentially altering how things are going to turn out in the NFC, because a healthy Romo with the Cowboys offensive line, they were definitely viewed as one of the favorites. So it'll be very interesting to see how things go down in Texas now after that whole thing went down. But after the game on Thursday, Coach Pete Carroll took the mic, talked about the preseason in general and where the roster stands heading into week one.
Well, we found our way to a good finish here for the preseason. Our young guys played all night long, and we're really proud of the way they battled. Took us a while to get some points on the board, but just to stay tough on the road, finishing and finding ways to make plays to get us a win was really a lot of fun for these guys. I was really fired up that we ran the ball so well in the second half, and then we scored 20 fourth quarter points, which that's about finishing. Good messages for us and good learning. This is a heck of a microphone right here. Really, we could do some stuff here. I thought the runners did a nice job. Both Alex and Tremaine did a nice job finishing off for us. Defense hung tough all night and kept us in the thing. So it was a good tough finish. We have some very difficult decisions to make here. We have a bunch of guys that really fit our style and play the way we like them to play. So it'll be a tough weekend trying to figure this thing out. But it's been a good solid preseason. I'm fired up that we played hard and tough throughout. We should have won all our games and had a good time figuring out who is going to be part of this team. I think it's an exciting team. I think with the leadership that we have and the kind of depth that we have, I think it gives us a real chance to have a nice season, and I look forward to getting this thing started.
How tough are those decisions you're going to take Saturday?
Well, you know, we've been with these guys for a long time. You know, we've been with them all off season and through the summer here, and they've worked so hard and tried so hard to be part of it. You know, it's a shame that not everybody can hang, you know, and stay with us. But we'll figure that out. But it is very difficult. This is not the good part of it. This is the hard part of it.
There's Carroll talking about the roster as we head into week one. He also touched on the subject of Thomas Rawls, as we mentioned earlier, is presumed to be the day one starter at running back. That decision is yet to be made, but by all indications from inside sources, that's where we're headed. Rawls has been battling some injuries throughout the offseason. At the end of last year, was pretty dinged up, but Carroll touched on the subject of where he's at now and where they expect him to be heading into Sunday.
Yeah, we've been working at that, and I wanted to make sure he was, you know, he had the resolve throughout and was ready to do it, because we'd already declared that he was going to be able to play in the opener. So the fact that he got in there for a few plays and got knocked a couple times, and that's behind him, it's fantastic. It's an incredible comeback. He's worked so hard to get this done, and I'm just so happy for him and where all of our players are, because they know that he just busted his tail throughout the entire offseason to get here and to be rewarded in the sense, you know, that he now knows he gets to play in the opener is really a big accomplishment, and so we're really, really thrilled for that.
Does he look like he's like 100%, no limitations?
He is. For the last couple weeks in practice, I've asked him to practice full speed every chance he gets. He's done that. He's given great effort and got banged around at times and handled it all and has not taken a step backwards at any time. So I think he looks like he's ready to rock and roll. We're not worried about it.
Certainly great to hear there if you're a Seahawks fan, because ideally Thomas Rawls will be the guy taking over for Lynch in terms of body type, running ability, running style. He most closely identifies with Lynch, and that way you don't have to change up too much heading into the season, because quite frankly, you have an extremely young offensive line, and the less changes you have to do with them, the better. Of the nine offensive linemen on the roster set right now, four of them are rookies. So a lot of inexperience, and if you have the ability to keep with the system you've been running all year long throughout OTAs and training camp, that'll be better. If you have to go to a more of a scat back east-west runner, then you really have to change up what you're doing schematically up front, and that's just going to add to the overwhelming nature of what these guys are going to be getting into. You know, Carroll also touched on Jeremy Lane, who last week sat down during the national anthem following up with Colin Kaepernick did. And, you know, we're talking about it because it is an important issue, and Lane is part of the team. And he's the first guy besides Kaepernick to go down this route. And Carroll touched on it and just overall what the team looks for and how he handles situations like this, because in the 2016 era we're in, social issues are a big thing, and it's going to crop up throughout the year.
Well, it's a totally an individual decision. This is a very, very interesting issues that we're dealing with right now. Our team has been working at it, and we've been in the process of communicating about a lot of stuff right now. And that was an individual thing, you know. But I'm really proud of the progress we're making in the conversation, and I look forward to continuing it with our guys. It's really important to us to understand and to be smart about what we're doing and how we handle our business. And we have, like I've been telling you, we have a great group of guys that lead this team, and are they going to help us as we move forward. I'm very much in support of them and how we handle it. This was an individual's statement tonight.
He said that he did not approach you about it, didn't tell you about it beforehand, but I noticed afterward in the locker room, you went up and talked to him. Did you talk to him specifically about that?
Yeah, afterward. Yeah, just before I came in here, just to check in with him and make sure he was okay, and he had handled, you know, the next wave of questions and stuff like that, and he was very, very composed and poised about it. I don't know what he said. I know what he meant to say and what he was trying to get across. So, you know, we support the individuals in this program have always been very crucial to us, and recognizing them. You know, this is another time we support our guys.
That's certainly going to be an interesting topic to follow all season long throughout the NFL, not just with Seattle, clearly, but what Colin Kaepernick started could set a precedence for some major social changes, and the NFL obviously has a huge platform for that, and it's interesting to see Jeremy Lane take that and be the next guy that's stepped up. And, you know, as Carroll mentioned there, you know, they're going to support their guys, and they want them to have opinions, and they want them to, you know, be on the forefront of the movement. And as long as it's not a distraction when it comes to being on the field, I think they'll be okay with it. But, you know, speaking of on the field, obviously that's where things are going to matter, you know, for the most part this season. And, heading into his fifth season, we talked about Russell Wilson, how he's finally reaching that point now of really grasping what the concept, but it's clearly becoming his team. There was a great article by Jarrett Bell in the USA Today a couple weeks ago about how, you know, Wilson, it's always been his team, being the quarterback. You're going to be the guy. But now with Lynch gone, Wilson truly is the guy. And he had a very eventful offseason, if you could say, as he got married and became a Snapchat superstar. But it's all going to rise and fall with what he does this year. And he's got the pieces in place. Hopefully a healthy Jimmy Graham as a tight end. Doug Baldwin has clearly established himself as a top 10 receiver in the league. And Tyler Lockett now is coming on. And if Rawls takes his place for Lynch and is the guy that people think he could be, there are pieces in place for this offense to really make some noise. And the hallmark of this franchise has been the defense over the last few years, and rightfully so, because as Wilson has taken his time coming along, the offense has evolved with him, but it was always relying on the defense to be the team they wanted to be now. But heading into this season, there are some questions on the offense. And what Wilson can do with it, as we mentioned, 4 of the 9 offensive linemen on the roster are rookies, and their ability to adapt and learn the system and handle the situations they're going to be thrown into will be paramount. But having a guy like Wilson back there who can improv and who makes his living off reading what the defenses are doing and reading what his offense is doing and putting himself in position to make plays down the field is going to be vital, especially in the first 5-6 weeks of the season as the offensive line is getting it and figuring out where they're headed. And, you know, some of the defensive lines that they're going to face throughout the first weeks of the season, it's going to be imperative that Wilson does take the reins. You know, the second week they go to Los Angeles, who's got one of the best, if not the best, defensive line in the NFL. 2 weeks later, they're at New York, at the Jets, another strong defensive line. Cardinals are coming up. Bills are coming up. Patriots come up. All these teams thrive on getting to the quarterback. And if you have an offensive line that is so inexperienced, they're going to rely on Wilson more than they probably have in any time in his first 4 years to be a playmaker. And it's going to be up to him to make sure that happens. And heading into the season, Seahawks.com has had a lot of really great previews. And they had one recently about Russell Wilson and just the mindset he has coming into this season. And there's a great clip, as you'll hear here in a second, where they pulled a play from last year. And it goes right into what I was saying about his ability to improv and scramble and find plays down the field, which I think is going to be really imperative heading into the season.
He's coming to the right, still looking for somebody to open up, pump fake. He throws to the end zone. It's a touchdown. Touchdown, Seahawks, to Tyler Lockett.
Now, the Seahawks starting offense really got into a groove in the Cowboys game last week, hoping to see a lot more of that starting next week. And it starts with Russell Wilson in his fifth season. What did you like from him this preseason?
Well, he just looks like he's more in control and in command, not only in the huddle, but also up on the line of scrimmage. And that's the thing that he can really improve on. He can just get smarter and smarter as a football player. Pete Carroll alluded to this in the offseason. He said that he needs to get his PhD in football. And that's what we're starting to see. Now, he answered the question last year, can he throw from the pocket. He had record numbers thrown from the pocket. But the next thing for him is getting up to the line and getting all the blocking protection right and then trying to recognize what defenses are doing to him. And I think it's really going to help him, Aaron, the fact that he's got a really good center in Justin Britt, because he was great with Max Unger, and I think that Britt is going to help him because I think he's going to be the center here for a long time.
He had the highest quarterback rating in the league last season. He said he wants to hit 80% in his completion rate. He was close to 70% last year, but why stop at 70?
If you're a Seahawks fan, you take 70% completions, and if he hits 80, I think that pretty much locks up a Super Bowl win. But you can tell listening to people talk that Wilson has taken the next step of his mental reps, and he knows that this is his team now. And you know, having the luxury of Marshawn Lynch behind him was great. It allowed the Seahawks in general to bring him along slowly and let him, his natural talents, take over. But this is the first year. This is truly his squad. Then they're only going to go as far as he takes them. And I think that's good because he has the makeup of someone that knows what he's doing. If there's a guy out there that you trust to put your franchise in, he's done nothing to persuade you that any other way. I mean, he's clearly established himself as the face of the franchise, a guy that you want out there championing your team. And everything on the field so far has really come up roses. I mean, there's nothing that he's done or put out there in the past that you would question whether or not he could handle the load of being the guy. We also touched on the schedule a little bit earlier in terms of some of the defensive lines that Seattle will be facing, but it really is a favorable schedule this year, especially ramping up at the end to get them ready for the playoffs. An early bye week, week five, a little bit earlier than you want. Generally, you want it towards the middle of the season or even a little bit later in the end so you can give your guys a break. But starting out at home versus the Dolphins, they go to the Rams. They have the 49ers at home, which will still be learning Chip's system. So that should be a W. A tough game, a tricky game at the New York Jets on Sunday, October 2nd. It's an early start. New York is one of those teams where you never quite know what you're going to get, but you know they're going to have a tough defense, so that's going to be a really big challenge, as we mentioned, for the offensive line. Then they have the bye week. You're home for Atlanta, and then a big stretch of games here. They go at Arizona, at New Orleans, home for a much-improved Bills team, and then at New England, which will have Tom Brady back, obviously, by that point. So that'll always be a real measuring point or litmus test of where you're at. Coming off the Patriots game, home for the Eagles at Tampa Bay, and then the rematch at home versus the Carolina Panthers on Sunday, December 4th. That'd be a big time Sunday night NBC game. The first rematch of the year with Carolina. The following week, they go to Green Bay, and then to end the season, three straight NFC West foes, home versus the Rams, home versus the Cardinals, and then at San Francisco to end the season. And those four games, Carolina, Green Bay, Los Angeles, and Arizona, will really go a long way towards determining A, where they're at in the playoff race, B, if they're going to be anywhere near getting home field for the playoffs, and C, health-wise. How do you come out of those games health-wise? I mean, Carolina's obviously got a bruising, punishing defense. Green Bay, offense, an offensive juggernaut with Aaron Rodgers at Green Bay is always going to be a tough game, especially in December. And then Rams and Cardinals are two battering Rams. So a very important stretch to end the season. If they can get through those four games, 2-2 or even 3-1, I think they have to consider themselves to be in a really good spot. And then the last week of the season, you hope to be able to either rest guys, or if you don't, you got to figure that at San Francisco should be a game that you can take care of, because San Francisco is definitely not going to be in contention this year from a roster standpoint. They're still a light years away from where they were a few years ago and where they hope to be back in a couple years from now. So the schedule is good. One road trip, back-to-back weeks where they go to Arizona and New Orleans. But that's early in the season, coming off the bye week, so you hope that they're still fresh at that point. And then three of the last four at home to end the season. Tough game. Going to be at Green Bay, obviously, like I said, going into December. But there's a lot of stretches there where Seattle could put together 2-3 wins in a row before they face a team that should give them problems. Looking through, I actually see 11 wins on the schedule, and I think there's a really good chance that they could go out and start out the season 5-0. If they get through that week two matchup in Los Angeles over the Rams, 49ers, I think the Jets, like I said, is going to be a tricky game on the road, but it's early enough in the year. It's not going to be super cold in New York. You hopefully won't have the winds that can howl through there come December. I think they get through that one. You have your bye week. Then you get a struggling Atlanta team at home before things really get difficult the next week at Arizona. But I really think they can get off to a hot start, which, as we mentioned last year, with their 2-4 beginning to the year, really put them behind the eight ball. I think this year is going to be a much different start. The schedule is backloaded, where last year it was front-loaded. But sometimes you want that. You want to be able to be challenged going into the playoffs, so you make sure your guys are ramped up and ready to go. But I think 11-5 is certainly possible. I think 12-4 with the right breaks could be possible as well. But the way the schedule is this year, you could also see a 10-6 or even 9-7 based on injuries or how that offensive line progresses, especially. But I think if you go 11-5, you're going to be battling with Arizona to come out in first place in the NFC West. I don't think that's necessarily a huge deal whether or not they win the West or not this year. I think the team overall offensive line aside, but overall they're experienced enough that if they have to go on the road for a week or even two in the playoffs, I think they would be okay, because that offensive line by week 7, 8, 9, they should have their bearings about them. It usually does not take an entire season for an offensive line to get gelled. So I think I'm not worried about getting home field advantage. If you get it, great, because they clearly have it. I would say the best home field advantage in all of the NFL. Some people in Green Bay might beg to differ, but coming into Seattle in December and January is not fun for anybody. So, you know, you get to 10 and 6, 11 and 5. I think you're set, and I think you're happy with that. It's a year of transition in a way. I mean, they're established enough across the board, but there are still enough pieces that are young or new or getting integrated that you're going to expect some growing pains. And if Thomas Rawls can come in and be a semblance of what Marshawn Lynch was, I think you're set. I think you're going to see a huge jump from Tyler Lockett in year two. And then if Jimmy Graham can become the guy he was in New Orleans, or at least a semblance of the guy he was in New Orleans. Now, Seattle doesn't run the same offense that New Orleans does, obviously, so he's not going to put up the statistical numbers he did. But if he can be a threat in the passing game and a good run blocker, I think you're going to get out of him what you look to get. And they want to have a big red zone target, because they don't have that that 6'5 receiver that you can throw the ball up to. So that's where Jimmy could be. That's what was missing last year. All those things come together. You know the defense is going to be stout. They're looking for big things this year from second year guys like Frank Clark. Obviously the secondary, if they stay healthy, you know what they're going to give you. Michael Bennett seems to be fiery this season. I think he's been thrown out of 3 practices so far, so you know he's ready to go. So you're not worried about the defense at all. All those guys are locked in. They're ready to go. You know what you're going to get. So you know, heading in, big things expected. You get some momentum, you head into the playoffs confident and ready to go. And as we've seen already in the preseason, one injury can alter the state of an entire organization. I mean, now we talked about Dallas. They have no idea what could happen. You know, there's some teams around the NFL where if one guy goes down, they're out of the picture. You know, we saw last year with Jordy Nelson, he went down for Green Bay. Look what they turned into. They were a shell of what they had been on offense, and that was just from a receiver. You know, so you never know, and health is going to play a big part for Seattle, as it does for every team every year. But they can stay healthy. You got to like their chances heading into the season. That's going to do it for our 2016 preview show here on Hawks Talk, episode 1 of this podcast. I appreciate you tuning in. As I mentioned, throughout the season, every Monday you can find us on csnnw.com. on iTunes as well. We'll give you recaps of the week that was, go over some fantasy stats if you're a fantasy football player, which I know a lot of you are, and we'll preview the following week for your Seahawks as well. So really appreciate you tuning in, and have a great day. And folks, we're almost there. 5 days away.